Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you tonight. I'm doing things a little different tonight, but I'm so excited about what's to come. You know, just taking a few seconds, you know, in regards to this COVID coronavirus and COVID-19 scenario, you know, I guess since it's been out, I've not been stressed over it. I try not to listen to the news too much because, you know, you have some people who deal with anxiety. I'm not one to really deal with too many anxieties, but I know if I continue to watch certain things that, you know, it'll get me into a place I don't need to be in. I keep my faith strong in the Lord. And whatever your higher power it is, I suggest that you do. You know, God, you know, we are covered under the blood. It's no doubt about that. But he also gives us wisdom. If you don't have to be out, don't be out. You know, let's not play Russian roulette or hopscotch with the Lord, because laws are made to be followed. And the word tells us that we are to follow the rules of the laws of the land. So just keep that in mind as we move forward. But move forward in this scenario. It is a storm. Everything is a storm, and this is no different. You know, if you are not in touch with your word, if you are a believer, you better get in it, because you know these are the kind of stuff that he talks about in his word. So get in it. And those who are not familiar with it, or those who want to know more about it, get into it, get in touch with the word. And if you don't know where to start, then I'm going to suggest, you know, reach out to me at chroniclesofafonderwoman@gmail.com, and I'll give that again. But before I start anything, let me just go into prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and I praise you right now. I give you the honor and the praise. Hallelujah, Lord, on this resurrection day today. I thank you for sending your precious son, Jesus, to come down on the cross, who suffered for us. He died that we may live, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for who you are. And Jesus, I thank you for who you are, because personally, I wouldn't have done it myself. That's why God knows who to send. I thank you for taking the beatings. I thank you for taking the lashes. I thank you for taking everything that you did and handle it so eloquently. And as you hung on that cross before you took your last breath, regardless of what was going on and how much they despised you, you went before your Father and said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." You went down to hell. You got the keys from Satan and released all the souls he was trying to hold captive. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for coming back and rising on the third day, rose and sat in his place, his rightful place in heaven with the Lord, returned to the Father. So I thank you that any forgiveness or, excuse me, any unforgiveness that's out there, any malice, any wrath, any unclean or things that we don't need to harbor in us, anger, malice, jealousy, whatever, Lord, that we release it. Because Jesus, if you could go through what you went through and forgive us and forgive those, I am sure, I know for myself, Lord, that I can let it go. And Lord, I just release. I release right now in the name of Jesus. And as we move forward today, I thank you for Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Thank you for giving me the unction to do what you called me to do. I thank you for the countries that it has reached. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, because if only one person is touched by it, it is enough for me. I thank you as I move forward that you decrease me, Lord, that you may get the increase, that you come before me, that anything I say, anything I do is a reflection of you. I thank you for those who are getting ready to tune in and those who are already tuning in and listening in right now. And even those who will be listening on this on demand afterwards, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I ask it for the hedge of protection over the listeners, not my listeners, but your listeners, Lord. And I ask that my will, not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord. And I thank you. And it's in your son Jesus' name. Amen. So, 1, 2, 3. What is wrong with me? I remember saying that for the first time when I was younger. I used to have a really bad temper. I mean, I really had a really bad temper, like the length of a millimeter, I think that's what it's called. Yeah, a millimeter, because that's really small. And it was so bad that my grandparents took me to the doctor, and I ended up having to get pills to help me control my temper. And as I got older, I won't say it probably got better, maybe a little dormant, but as life goes on, I found myself any little thing will trigger it, you know. And then when I got in a confrontation with people about things, because, you know, I don't know about you, but anytime I got in a confrontation with someone, I always, you know, I live for the battle. I live for the battle of, you know, getting into an argument and more so seek and destroy. And I will go at any length to go ahead and do it. I don't care if it hurts your feelings or not. But my thing was, I never took accountability for my part I played in the conference, on in the scenario that causes or ignited the confrontation. And I don't know about you, but I still deal with people like that, because as I am now at 49 years old and turn my life over to Christ and walking in His walk, I've just seen now when I see people who don't like to really take accountability for their part in a scenario, is baffling to me. But it's one of those things where God has a way of showing you yourself through other people. And then I'm like, wow, did I really look like that? And the answer is, yes, I did look like that. So I was just wondering, I thought it was a good topic to bring up tonight, as I am going through my, I would say, storm. I was going through a serious storm, and I'll get into it a little later, as I ask for prayer. But I noticed that when I got into different scenarios, or have you met someone or know someone, or maybe yourself, when you get into confrontation about a scenario with people, that you're quick to point out someone's portion and the role that they play in that scenario, but you will not accept your part of, or your responsibility in the scenario. You will not accept your fault in it. Basically, it's everybody else's fault but yours. And I'll, you know, make it a little simple as we talk about it a little bit more. You know, I just think that's very interesting. So let's just go straight to what this is. 1, 2, 3, what is wrong with me? We're going to talk about why people have a hard time admitting they're wrong. We're going to talk about I was doing some research tonight for this topic, or actually I've been doing it for the past week. And I came on this site called aconsciousrethink.com. And I love this website because I get a lot of good information on some of the topics that I talk about. But it talked about 8 reasons why people do not want to admit that they're wrong at times. And I know when I talk about anything, before I get started, you are tuned into Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. This is Fuchina Kirkendall. You're more than welcome to join in, or if you feel that someone could benefit or be blessed by this tonight, please have them join us. They can log in by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Or to make it simpler, they can dial in to 914-338-1552. That number again is 914-338-1552. Now I have people that like to chime in, because sometimes people do call. Well, I have people that do call but don't want to get on the radio. But if you want to call and you want to chime in on this, please do. And you can call me on that same number at 914, excuse me, I apologize. You can still call in. You still got to call in, 914-338-1552. But you also have to, I'm asking you to shoot me a text at 678-887-9441. And when you shoot me that text, just shoot me a text and say, hey, chime me in, and I'll be more than happy to chime you in. If you are having a hard time hearing me, please just shoot me a text message so I'll know, because I don't have my headset on tonight. So, but if you have those who want to call in or want to say something but don't actually want to be on the air or want to express themselves over the show tonight, you're more than welcome to text me as well at 678-887-9441. And just simply text, just want to share or just share, and then text me what it is that you would like to share, and I'll be more than happy to do it. More than happy to do it. And I thank you so much for those of you all who are emailing me and responding to me via email. I just greatly and just truly, I truly appreciate it. You're more than welcome to continue to do so at C as in Charlie, OAF woman. At gmail.com. That email again is coafwoman@gmail.com. Now that we got the housekeeping done, we're going to go back to 1, 2, 3, what is wrong with me? And basically we are talking about why people why people don't want to admit that they're wrong at times. And like I mentioned, I was on a conscious rethink.com, and they gave me 8 reasons why people do not want to admit that they're wrong. And I thought it was so interesting to read this tonight, because I saw a lot of myself from my past experience in here, and it was just, I'm so excited to get into it. So let's just go ahead and do it. And let's talk about the first one. The first reason I saw was the fear of being seen as weak. Now, we have a lot of strong people out there, myself included, before I exercised meekness in my life. But at one time, I just refused. I did not want to be labeled as weak. And coming from my background of an abuse background, once I got past that, I was just determined I was not going to be seen that way anymore or allow anyone to put me in a vulnerable position. So me apologizing for anything was just totally out of the question, unless it made sense to me. Let me just say that. Unless it made sense to me, maybe. If it didn't make sense to me, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And I do find it very interesting that, a lot of people share in this experience, not just me, but it's just interesting because, let's face it, and let's be real and transparent. I don't want to look like a punk, and I don't want to be punk. I just don't want to do that, At least that's what we say in our heads, that for me it was. I didn't want, admitting that I'm wrong, No, I can give you every reason why you're wrong. I could do that. But for me to take that, me to apologize or admitting that I was wrong, that was just, I just can't be seen as weak. And that's so far from the truth. It is just so far from the truth. And I'm looking forward to going back to talking about, how that scene, if we could talk about that in a positive scene, in a positive way. The next one that came was they fear retaliation. A lot of people, including myself, I'm going to always use myself as the example. They live inside this eye for an eye, scenario. If you did something to me, you can best believe that I'm gonna get back at you. And you know what's interesting? I'll take it even a little bit further. I would make you think that everything is okay. Because I knew at one point you're going to get weak and you're going to get vulnerable, and that's when I will strike. Now, is it right? No. But I don't mind telling you. It's the truth. God, I thank you for who you are. That's all I can say. Thank you for deliverance. But for me, it goes back to if I could get them in their weakest state, I got them. And it didn't matter what if it hurt or if I betrayed them, I didn't care. All I did was I held on to a grudge. That's basically what I did. I held on to it. And it just, I had a problem trusting people. And that's what that comes from, that fear of retaliation. It comes from a lack of trust of people. And I did not want to put myself in a painful situation. And if it had meant, my attitude was, I'd rather cause you pain than you cause me pain. So I'd rather hurt you first than you hurt me. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. But it's funny as I go through life and my scenarios and some of the things I'm going through right now that I'm going through, it makes me realize how much I have changed and how much God has really, truly transformed me. Now, am I 100%? No, far from it. But when I think about where I used to be and where I am now, I'm just saying it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'm not sure if you may be going through it or know of someone that may be going through it. But, talking about it, just letting you're not by yourself. There are people just such as myself. So there are ways to deal with it. It is ways of dealing with it. Number three, the fear of losing someone. When it comes to not admitting that they're wrong, even though not admitting to it, you can actually lose them anyway, for not, admitting your part in it. It gives a reluctance to people not wanting to apologize or admit that they're wrong, because it's like they become paralyzed. I mean, they literally become paralyzed because they feel like they're going to lose that person. Not realizing, not admitting to it is a way of losing that person. Anyway, if anything, that's how you're probably losing them. Sometimes we get so in fear that we're paralyzed and so perfect. We do feel, we get to a point of, we paralyze and then we panic and then we make more decisions. And now you stirring your hand in the pot and the pot is now getting stinker and stinker and stinker every time you stir it up. Number four. Let me go back to that part about the fear of losing someone, because a part of that also is the fears that, people always feel like they have to have constant reinsurance, even dealing with people that probably don't mean them no good, but they need to have that constant reassurance. And some people can't be open and honest about their real feelings, about what's going on with that scenario. Number four, the fear of not being perfect. We talked about this. I'm trying to think on which show we talked about people being perfectionists. And so, it was on the one we were talking about, the mental OCDs and mental. We were talking about that. And no one's perfect. That's all I can tell you about that. No one's perfect. Believe it or not, we're all human. That's all I'm going to say on that until we can go back to how to deal with that. Number five, they enjoy chaos. This is one of my favorites. A person who can't admit that they're wrong, or people who love to, in their own warped mind or reasoning, they actually enjoy presiding over misery. It's like, and I say this all the time, a person who keeps chaos keeps control. A person who keeps chaos keeps control. They either withholding and wrong, they'll enjoy feeding, you know, they'll tell half the story. They'll tell the negative part of a story, but they won't tell the positive side of the story. So they won't tell the entire story. So it leads to, and what happens is you create a situation, and now you're like the, you know, center of attention, the knight in shining armor, because you can pat yourself as a, hey, I'm the savior, I got you, I'm this, I'm that. Narcissists do this all the time, all the time. You know, it's interesting, very, very interesting. I'm just going to go through all of them, and then we're going to go back and talk about how you deal with them. They are oblivious. That's number six. A person who get caught with the hands down, you know, with the pants down, and the hands get caught on the cookie jar, you know, it's like they don't know how to figure out their wrongdoings, or they don't know how to deal with their wrongdoings. So when I didn't want to deal with being caught about something, I just caused a smoke screen, because that was my easiest way to deal with it. So after I was finished with you, I would make you feel like you were wrong for doing what you was doing. I was the one that was wrong. And we just have to be mindful of that, you know. But being oblivious can be very dangerous, very, very dangerous, because not only are you messing with you, you're dealing with the people that you so-called love, or you can end up hurting other people into thinking, falsely thinking things they don't need to think. Number seven, they are stubborn. Being stubborn is a combination of many other, you know, the previous one we talked about, the shortcomings. You know, stubborn people are aware of their positions, and they have the ability, or they're aware of the pain they cause others. And some of them will come off as if, well, you know, as if they're so innocent. It's almost like they throw the rock and hide behind the wall type of situation, which I find very interesting at times. Or they make it seem like they're such the victim. You know, they're such the victim, and everybody want to take care. Come on, victim. No, you're right. No, it doesn't. And that's what they look for, because guess what? They need that sense of security. They need to feel wanted by people and feel that love by people, that insecurity that they need to feed in. So, you know, they don't want to deal with the real, and that's just bottom line. You know, if you're wrong, you say you're wrong. You know, it's just that simple. But it takes away from having to admit, you know, being stubborn, just having to admit. But the truth of the matter is, you know, eventually it's going to come out. Number eight, and the final one before we go in, and I'm going to start chiming people in, is they don't want to go first. A lot of people have a hard time. They rather wait for someone else to admit it before they will say anything. It's one of those, well, she's not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Or he's not going to do it, well, I'm not going to do it. And the bottom line is, somebody got to step up. Somebody got to be a bigger person. You know, some of us just it's just pride. That's really the bottom line, pride. And pride comes before destruction. You know, just keep that in mind. You know, I talked about quite a few things. I'm just going to recap real quick, and then we're going to talk about how to deal with people, you know, in those scenarios. And I'm going to get, I'm just letting you know, I'm telling you from life experiences and some of the things I have done myself and have been exposed to. And the eight reasons for number one was fear of being seen as weak. They fear retaliation. They fear losing someone. They fear not being perfect. They enjoy chaos, my favorite one. They are oblivious. They are stubborn. And they don't want to go first. So, as I told you before, this is Fatina Kirkenall with This is Fatina Kirkenall with Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. You're more than welcome to join in. If you know anyone who can join in or wants to join in with us, they're more than welcome to tune in. If you are tuning in, I'm going to need you to help me with that background noise in the back. I appreciate you very much. But you're more than welcome to call in at 914-338-1552. You can call in at 914-338-1552. Like I stated, if you're interested in coming on, and I have a lot of people that call in, but they don't want to talk, you're more than welcome to do so. Or if you just do want to talk, would you just text me first and just text me at 678-87-9441 and just say, hey, chime me in, and I'll be more than happy to chime you in. And in the event that you don't want to, you know, say anything, but you just want me to just read your comments, please, you're welcome to do so as well. I just say, just share, and I'll be more than happy to share it. And like I said, I am available on email at C as in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. So as I was saying, as we talked about the reasons why people don't like to admit that they're wrong, before I get into how you deal with people like that, I have a beautiful one that's waiting to speak to us on the line. Welcome to Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. How are you?
Oh, bless you. I'm doing wonderful, my sister. It's an honor to be on your podcast, listening, learning. I'm ready to jump right in it with you. It's very interesting, the topic that you're talking about. Where shall we start?
Yes, exactly. I got to talking about the reason why people don't like to admit they're wrong. So I'm gonna tell you about it again. The fear of being seen as weak. They fear retaliation. They fear losing someone. They fear not being perfect. They enjoy chaos. That's my favorite one right there. They are oblivious. They are stubborn. And the last one is they don't want to go first. Those are the eight reasons. And I got that from A Conscious Rethink. That's the website that I got it from. Very, very awesome website, by the way. I highly suggest people to check it out. They have some awesome articles out there. But yeah, that, you know, I was just talking about as far as it's called A Conscious Rethink. Phenomenal website. So what are your thoughts on it so far? You know, the fear of being seen as weak. I mean, we all met people. I know I've been there. I ain't gonna go out like a punk, you know. I'm just not about to do that.
I used to feel that way at one point in my life, especially if I didn't necessarily care for you. I mean, let's just be honest.
Exactly.
You know, I don't know you. You don't know me. There is a strength that I definitely want to portray about myself. So back then, I did think and feel that way. But I realized that it takes more humility, integrity, and strength to step up and be the one to admit that you're wrong. And I think a lot of times, a lot of people, you know, before they can even get to that place to admit it, some people lie to themselves so well and so much that there's a lack of awareness. You know, I see sometimes people don't want to admit they're wrong, but they know they are. But then there's that category of people who don't admit it because they don't realize that they're wrong. And sometimes that could be no malice with it, could be purely innocent. But there are people who are just, like you said, they're oblivious and they're completely unaware that, you know what, you are wrong. There's two left feet right here. But they are just totally disconnected to it.
I also, with that being stated, you know, being oblivious to it, and we'll get back to that because that's actually number six, as a matter of fact. You know, being oblivious to it. Some people, you know, choose to have a blind eye or just don't want to do it, just don't want to deal with it because they don't want to, confront truth with it. They just don't want to confront truth because if they did, then that's a sign like, okay, well, I can't be weak. That means I'm going off of something weak. But, you know, going on to the positive side, well, I won't say, you know, how to handle that is basically just like you said, you know, I had to learn meekness. And when I learned humility and meekness, it's just one of those things where I told my grandmother I never thought I would be like her, and I find myself like her. She said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I will, and I found myself now on things that I would go, I mean, I would go to battle, especially when it comes to that tongue. My tongue is sharp. You know, I look forward to battles like that because all I want to do is hurt your feelings. You know, but now it's like I just want to love you, you know, because I'm not trying to go to hell for no foolishness. I'm just not trying to do that. And you know what? I don't care if you see me as being weak. I don't care if people see me as being weak anymore because if you know the strength it takes to be meek, you will leave me alone. That's just, you know, you said it. You hit the nail on the head when you said that. You would just leave me alone because you really don't know. You really don't know how I'm, like, beating my flesh to keep my mouth shut and keep my hands to myself, you know. And then finally God was like, what are you trying to prove and who are you trying to prove it to?
Because
and then I had to remind myself, when I'm dealing with people, nobody has no heaven or hell to put me in. And the last time I checked, the stairway to heaven was not through somebody else's back door.
That's right.
I can't do it no more. It's so interesting how, you know, and you could attest to this more than anything, you know, how when we think about how we used to be and how we are now, it's just like some people who knew us back in the day, when they see us now, they're like, wait, this ain't the person we used to know back in the day. Yeah, you're right. I'm not that person no more. I'm better. I'm sure. I'm wiser, and I'm more connected, and I'm good with that. I am good. You know, and now I find myself going into prayer. You know, because I realize, you know what? I used to be there. I get it. So it goes. Yeah, I used to be there, so I get it. I totally get it. The next one is the fear of retaliation. Sometimes it's that.
They don't want to open
themselves up. Yes, they don't want to open themselves to such a painful option, or that usually comes from, you know, people who haven't quite learned to trust others, who haven't learned to trust in others. I'm definitely, definitely guilty of that. You know, my attitude was always, I'll hurt you before you hurt me. I'd rather just hurt you before you hurt me. I'll deal with the consequences. I'll be all right, you know.
And that's definitely a true statement. you know. And you know, in addition to that, I think there's also people who fear retaliation in a different kind of way, because it's not that they lack trust in people, they have a lack within themselves. And whenever you're afraid of confrontation, and whether you're somebody because of the fear of how it's going to turn out, then they'll avoid. They'll just completely avoid it. They'll want to admit that they're wrong. They won't apologize if they're wrong. They'd rather be complacent instead of boldly standing up and just being revealing the right of the thing, you know, bringing it to the forefront. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of people who just, they avoid it because they have that lack of confidence to do it.
You said that. You know, one way to deal with that or deal with people like that is to set firm boundaries around your boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, don't let them get so close to the core things that matter to you that they'll be upset, that they can upset you. And I had to learn that the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm such an open book sometimes. Sometimes you can't be an open book with everybody because everybody can't handle it, number one.
Definitely.
And everybody's
definitely
not deserving of it, number two. Because if they're not on the level that you're on, it's just like casting your pearls to swine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be very, very careful, you know. So it comes with being selective. And actually, discernment as well. If you want to get on a biblical or spiritual level, learning to be discern who you can do that with and who you can't. Because honestly, when a person shows you who they are, stop hoping and praying that this person gonna change, and you start feeding into it, hoping, and then when the same thing happened over and over, first time you're bad, second time my bad. There should not be a third time. You know, but like myself, I'm guilty of it. I gave people third times, you know, only to get to a point where I'm one of those people I will forgive, but I get to a point where I'm done because I know I've done all that I can do. But I also got to a point where I have to be wide open, where I can see, okay, Chyna, what role did you play in this? And you got to be the big girl. You got to be the big girl, you know. So I'm not going to retaliate. The best thing I can do is for anyone, suggest to anyone, is use cautious wisdom, discernment, and most of all, set boundaries. You know who and what you need to share with whom and who you need to share it with. Just be mindful of that. Yeah, because if you do that, whatever happens after that, that's on you. That's strictly on you. Number three, the fear of losing someone.
That kind of ties into, you know, what I was saying before. Sometimes people just won't be honest and apologize or say anything, because they don't want to lose that person. So they accommodate and they compromise. And that's not what God wants us to do. Not for the sake of holding on to someone if it's for the wrong reasons.
Right. You know, another way to looking at that is, you know, like making amends will, you know, further hurt you to a point that you'll go away. You know, you rather just not deal with, you rather just deal to be without them than to make an amends with it, you know.
Because
the truth of the matter is you don't want to deal with the truth of what's going on. Meaning, I'll give you a scenario. You and I get into a confrontation, and I'm coming into, okay, this is my part I played in it. I'm going to come to you, blah, 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 blah. But then yet you still come at me like it's all my fault or you'll find every reason to try to blame me. No, let's talk about why we in this situation. And instead of you wanting to deal with it, you rather make excuses as to why I, my portion of it. No, honey, let's talk about, I've already claimed my part. Let's talk about your part in it. You know, so it's one of those constant things where, you know, the truth of the matter is people know when they're wrong. They know when they did something wrong.
But yeah, a lot for the most part,
yeah. they know they when they're wrong. But a lot of the thing about that, you know, the fear of losing somebody is, you know, trying to go off, you know, trying to build up that smoke screen. But the truth of the matter is you take a chance of losing someone anyway because you don't want to deal with it. Now it becomes
That's
a tolerate thing.
Mm.
It becomes a tolerate thing. You know, now you know, so you'll start doing things as the person that's, you know, got to deal with someone who don't want to deal with it. And then the other person who don't want to admit it, you know, is pretty much just trying to be that, you know, having that attention that some people seek to have because of insecurities and stuff. But on the flip side, the people that's receiving that know that, hey, you need to admit that you're wrong. And even if you don't get it at this point, okay, now my eyebrows is arched for you. But, you know, you just, all I can say is you just got to put on a big girl drawers, big boy drawers or big boy underwear. You know, we just have to do it, you know, because the bottom line is nobody's perfect. No one's perfect. And if people just realize that we all make mistakes, it's going to happen. You know, you can't, and if you're truly friends, if you're truly the friends that you say that you are, guess what? They going to be with you, ride or die.
Yeah.
They going to be with you, ride or die. Admit that you're wrong, you know, and if they walk away from it, maybe it's those people that just need time. I had a friend of mine. I still consider her my sister, but she decided that she wanted to cut the friendship off because I had to be honest with her. She had a situation that has traveled with her from each of her jobs, and I finally had to say, look, you need to get help for that. And I know it hurt her, but if I'm going to be a friend, I'm going to be a friend. And I see a situation that's traveling with you from this place of employment, and eventually it's going to explode. I don't want to see that. So I love you enough as my friend to tell you that. Okay? If you don't want to deal with that, that's cool. But when the time comes, it won't be, you can't say that I didn't tell you the truth. Or I didn't tell you because I love you and I don't want to see you self-destruct, you know. But that was hard. Mm-hmm. That was a hard one. But, you know, I always say true friends will always be there regardless. If they're your true friends, mm-hmm. they'll be upset, you know, and they're going to always be honest with you. If you got somebody who are in it, and I always say I'm not going to be your yes man friend. That's just all to it. I'm not going to be a yes man friend. No, you got the wrong person for that. I'm not going to be a yes man friend. Now, because I'm not your true friend if I do that. So
Let
me go through this because, girl, you know I can be on the phone all day. So let's
it.
Go
I
on to
it.
A couple more things. They fear not being perfect. And it goes back to nobody's not perfect. The only perfect person that worked this earth is the person that we celebrate in the day, and that's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only perfect
mm-hmm.
person. You know,
mm-hmm.
other than that, nobody's perfect. You know, everybody makes mistakes. Just own up to it. That's the best thing I can tell you. When you make a mistake, just own up to it. That's the best thing you to do. It's a humbling experience, but it's the most rewarding experience that you can ever have. Because when you learn to graduate from people, you could care less about what people have to say and then worry about, like I told y'all before, I'm a Christian. All you want to worry about is, you know, what God has to think or what he has to say in the end. And that's all you really care about at this point. And if you have children, you have to lead by example. Because I never forget my son telling me, now, Mom, you know that person didn't mean to do that. That was wrong. And I had to make that situation right in front of my son because he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. You know, it's not just you. It's also your children that you have to look at. Now, I'm rushing because I want to get to a particular topic that's going to take a couple more minutes. And that is they enjoy chaos. I have a saying, actually it's probably from the word, a person who enjoys chaos keeps control. A person who keeps chaos keeps control, and it's actually not from the word. No, that's not from the word. But a person who keeps chaos keeps control. They enjoy, in their own warped minds or their own warped reasoning, they enjoy presiding over misery.
Wow.
You know, withhold, you know, they enjoy, you know, like withholding information. They'll tell one part of the information, but don't tell the other part. To get someone started. Because, you know, I'll be the first one to admit, I knew how to get a party started now. Yeah, I knew how to get, if I wanted to create control, I knew exactly what to do. I knew exactly what to do. And sometimes you do it, I won't say unbeknownst, it's because you do it so much, it becomes habit, habitual. It becomes habitual. And narcissists do this all the time. People who are narcissistic. They like creating chaos. And if they cause chaos among a group of people, that makes them the center of attention. That makes it the center of control. It goes back to having control. They keep the center of control. Yes, honey. They're the leader of the gang, leader of the pack. You know, so it's one of those things, you know, how do you deal with someone intent on creating situation requiring their apologies? You know, you simply don't. You know, those who have a problem with trusting others, you know, who are, you know, don't want to establish certain boundaries, you know, I've also learned when you're dealing with people who like to keep chaos, is, you know, I used to do a lot of press. I used to run a charter school. I used to do a lot of TV and a lot of things with nonprofit. And the best way to handle sour grapes and bad press is say nothing. Say absolutely nothing. And that is always the best response. I used to always tell my board of directors, say nothing. I'll handle the reporters, but you say nothing. Say nothing. And at times, I don't say anything. Because a fool can't argue by themselves. A fool can't argue by themselves. They can't. Oh yeah, because if you're not wise or if you're not on point, that person will cause to find any little crack to find some type of chaos. If you're not careful, then you find yourself getting caught up in a situation. And then you find yourself apologizing for something you didn't have no business doing because somebody else would manipulate the situation.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of a term that I've heard that I learned, like, this past year that have to do with narcissists. It's called gaslighting, that they're notorious for over-exaggerating, blowing at things, trying to manipulate you into chaos because they thrive off of that. They are emotional vampires that thrive off of that kind of negative energy and drama. and the technique that they teach you to deal with people who are narcissists, who gaslight. It's called graystoning. And it's just what you're saying. You become like a stone. No response. Don't engage.
Yeah.
Just what you're saying. Not. Just go silent. Exactly what you're saying. So it's amazing. I mean, the parallel is there, but like you said, it goes back to, and all of it, I mean, all of that comes from growth, spiritual and just physical growth as an individual, and maturity, just maturity. And there are some overgrown old folks who just never grow up. I don't care how old you get. You may still be immature in your response to things. Definitely. I'm with you on that. You know, you kill the chaos with your silence.
And the sixth one is they are oblivious. They get caught with the hands down, with the pants down, hands caught in the cookie jar, you know, taped to their forehead. You know, you know, how do you deal with people like that? It's just one of those things where, you know what, for me, I got to pray. You know what I'm saying? I just got to pray. Let me tell you something, one thing I've learned. It goes back to that thing of never argue with a fool. It's just like being in a confrontation with someone and they don't want to hear nothing you got to say. That, you know, they just they're heck bent on whatever it is they got in their mind. And guess where it comes from? It comes from the person who don't want to admit that they're wrong. So now you got another person involved who's been engaged. So now you are engaged with someone else based on someone else's opinion. Now you don't want to have a conversation. You know, it gets manipulating. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in that. You know, I got caught up in one situation not too long ago, one situation like that. And then I was like, wait a minute. Now let me slow down for a second, because one thing I know is God is my vindicator. He sits high and he looks low. So I'm not going to sit there and stress this no more. I'm just not. For those who want to be oblivious, I'm going to let you stay oblivious, because that's a learned behavior. You know, it's one of those things they like, you know, it's so hard. It's like a diamond. It's so hard to break them. But because I know this, I have to put it in God's hands. Take myself out of it, put it in God's hands, put that person in God's hands, put that person in God's hands, put that person in God's hands. And you know what, Lord? I'm going to put me under the blood. I'll put all of us under the blood, you know, regardless of what that situation is. I'm not about to do that. And I wouldn't suggest anybody else to do it. Just don't do it. You know, the seventh one is being stubborn. You know, people are aware of their situation. Some people just won't do it. They ain't going to do it. They don't want to deal with it, you know, but yet they stand on some type of principle. I remember, you know, talking about, you know, voting and stuff. I had a friend of mine told me he was not going to vote because he didn't feel his vote was going to count. But, you know, stood on his ground. He stood his ground. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to apathetic rule on that? But, you know, it goes back to, well, I'm not going to argue with, I ain't going to say a fool, but you know. Yeah, let me just be real. I don't argue with people no more. If you stand firm on that, you stand firm on that. Hey, it's not for me to, you know, God got it. We're just going to leave it at that. And the last one until we're going to wrap this up, is they do not want to go first. No one wants to extend the olive branch first. They rather wait or shoot. They rather hold their breath and lose their life before they say something first. And I'm telling you this, you can go ahead and go to hell if you want to. Resurrection Sunday with the COVID going on right now. This ain't no time to be holding no grudges. This ain't no time to
not
be doing whatever. What we have to do now is make it right. It don't matter who did it, who shot John. John is shot. So now we got to get John well. And all I'm going to say is this, you know, as we end up in this show, is this. I've been there before, been there, done that. But I tell you, you don't have to be like that. You know, with all that's going on in our society, I just buried my brother not too long ago. And knowing how life is so short, because it totally caught me off guard. Michael was never sick. So for him to die is such a, just die, it just caught me off guard. But it just gave me an affirmation, you know, the heart attacks, everything that God has brought me through is just not that serious. I will walk away from a situation that I fully engage anymore. I'm not, and when I find myself doing that and I find that tunnel closing in on me, I have to walk away. And I said, vengeance is not mine, says the Lord. I'm not going to do it anymore. And one thing I do realize, it's not mine to do. God is my vindicator. He will handle it.
That's
be
fine.
Quiet, Tina. Be quiet. Because this is not your battle to fight. It's the Lord's. And he's
he
going to do it. And ever since I've done that, ever since I started practicing that, ever since I started practicing meekness, it is not that serious to me as far as, you know, who did it first, who didn't do it first, or whatever. I have come to the place now, Barbara, where I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I want to make it right. I want to make it right with you, with man, and then I want to be able to go to my Father and say, Lord, please forgive me. Now, if you go to somebody and you try to make it right and they don't want to forgive you, you've done your part. God honors that. God honors that. Now, all you got to do is like, okay, because he didn't see it. Lord, I did my part. I tried, blah, 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 blah. And guess what? He's good with that. But you got to try. That's my point. You can't sit there and let your pride, because that's pride. And what the word say about pride? Pride comes before destruction.
Pride comes before fall, yeah.
And, honey, we living in a time right now, people are dying. I just read the report on the state of Georgia when it comes to this COVID-19. 11,000 people affected by it. 11,000, over 11,000. This is crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy
just here in Georgia. You know, I'm just saying it's just not that serious to me anymore. And I'm good. I'll just get quiet. I get real quiet. Like, Lord, I'll let you handle it. I'll let you handle it. It's just not worth it for me. And I'm just saying I'd rather just admit whenever I've done something, because I want to see heaven one day. I want my children to see heaven one day, and my generations and generations after generations, because it don't just affect you. Whatever you do in your life don't just affect you. It affects your children. It affects your children. It affects your children, children, and children, children, and children, children. You know, so we just have to be mindful of that when we think about that. And I know me talking to the man in the mirror first, you know, I have to exercise that. And I've just, you know, the more and more I do it, it's not easy to do at first. I'll be the first one to admit. But the more and more I do it, the more and more I do it, it becomes better and it becomes easier. It's like second nature to me now. So, Barbara, I love you and I thank you so much for joining in tonight. And I thank all of you all who have tuned in to the Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. We talked about, you know, 1, 2, 3, what is wrong with me? You know, talking about people who don't want to admit when they're wrong. Of course, starting with me first. I want you to know that I love you and God loves you more. I want to wish you another remaining happy Resurrection Day. But before I leave, I just want to say the reason why we're here, those who are believers, he died so we may live. That man went to the cross for us, and I tell you, if it was to me, it was up to me, it wouldn't happen. I don't know if I could take that beating that he took, but he did, and he did it eloquently and gracefully. And for that, I am most grateful. Thank you for tuning in from Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. God bless you, and may heaven continue to smile upon you. Good night.